Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started. Gutenberg. Gutenberg will bring a lot of new changes in WordPress ecosystem. How will Gutenberg affect page builders in general? This is episode number 16 of the podcast, Better Beaver Page Builder in Gutenberg World with Robbie. Here, I talk to Robbie, who is one of the founders of Beaver Builder Page Builder, about Beaver Builder, page builders, Gutenberg, and general ecosystem. Let's hear in. If you've been enjoying this podcast, please do consider leaving a 5-star review at iTunes. Just head over to smartwebcreators.com/iTunes. That's smartwebcreators.com/iTunes. Now let's begin the show. Hey Robbie, how are you?
Good, good. How's it going?
I'm doing good. I'm sure you are excited with the launch of Beaver Builder 2.2.
Yes, yes, indeed. It's funny, the way we were joking around, or there was a couple like jokes going around on Twitter about how Gutenberg, I think at one point was supposed to launch yesterday, but they had to push Gutenberg back. But hey, we managed to pull off our launch yesterday. So
Gutenberg got Gutenberged. It is dateless. Okay, we'll talk about Gutenberg Page Builder, Beaver Builder 2.2. But before we begin, why don't you give a quick introduction about your online life, like how you started your online journey, and now you're solely focused only on Beaver Builder?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was fortunate to grow up with a computer in the household. I've been kind of online almost my whole life. I started getting into web development and design also when I was really young, like probably between like the ages of like 10 and 12. I started dabbling around. Those are like the early 90s days of like animated GIFs and, scrolling marquees and all those like awful, but at the time, revolutionary design tactics and whatnot. But then about, I think it's like 7 years ago now, I started working with the guys that are now my partners at Beaver Builder. Our parent company is called Fastline Media, and that was the name of our web agency. So we were doing web design and development work. And in the process, or when we were doing web design development work, long story short, we used a page builder for a client, and we kind of enjoyed the workflow and being able to hand off a site that people were able to edit. That client was able to get in there and make changes without having to deal with any code. But we really didn't like the tool that we were using. It was a back-end page builder, and it was clunky. And so we kind of looked around for something that would fit a few things that we were looking for in terms of like front-end design, usability, etc. Couldn't really find anything, so we decided to try and make one ourselves. And that was the beginning of what eventually became Beaver Builder.
And you made one of the best ones.
Oh, thanks. No, it's been a process. It's funny, like we go back and look at some of the early iterations of Beaver. Like Beaver Builder started as a back-end page builder, and it's definitely grown a lot, and largely in part to the community, folks like yourself and our user community that have been really helpful in that process of providing feedback and usage and kind of
Cool. Let's talk about page builder ecosystem in general. Like page builders have like skyrocketed in the last 2-3 years, primarily because newer page builders are much better and they adequately serve in the purpose of faster website development. Now, what do you think? Will this page builder party continue, or is there a big bump coming up ahead?
I think it will continue. I mean, I think it's a trend you see in all sorts of, engineering and development, like these abstraction layers, like you've got your like, even think about like computer science, computer programming, like you've got machine assembly code that's running on the processor, and then there's like low-level programming languages that kind of abstract that out. And you sacrifice a little bit of performance, right? But if you're like writing something in C or C++, you're like almost at that machine level. And then there's further abstractions, right? There's like BASIC and scripting language, where again, you're simplifying the process and the trade-off being a little bit of performance. And then, all the way up to like web development design, like that's followed kind of a similar model. Like you can get in there and write HTML and CSS and front-end code, back-end code, and get really nitty-gritty if you need the performance. But as computers and servers have gotten more powerful and cheaper, it's become a lot more effective to use those abstractions. And I think that trend is going to continue. Like we're going to continue as developers and builders trying to build things that make things easier, and abstract the complexities.
That's why we're seeing more and more newer page builders like showing up here and there.
Sure. One thing on that, but I think it's really interesting, or what I've noticed, I guess, in the last few years is that I think there's a lot more platforms. Like, if you're a business that's looking to advertise or market online, a website used to kind of be the one-stop shop, or it used to be like the main focus of your online marketing. And what I see now is other platforms like YouTube and Twitter, not so much Twitter, like YouTube and Instagram, Facebook, all of the social media platforms. Like I feel like the website is kind of now a hub that also can filter down, or vice versa. Like you use these different platforms to gain an audience, and those can either filter up to your website or when people come to your website. Like again, it used to just be like a newsletter sign up was how you captured people, and that's still very effective. But now, like if you can get them on your newsletter list and following your Instagram and subscribe to your YouTube channel, you've got all these different mediums to talk and communicate with people.
Yeah, even LinkedIn, like a lot of people have like a basic one page website, but they're doing all the business on LinkedIn because it works for them because their all
Yeah.
connections are on LinkedIn.
I
So
should be better at LinkedIn. I'm not like your typical corporate guy, which is what I always kind of associate with LinkedIn. But yeah, it's funny. Like I didn't leave that one out on purpose. That's
I started like 3 4 months back, and you know what? If you upload a video on YouTube and you upload a video on LinkedIn, not share your YouTube link, but upload it, you tend to get more views, immediately within a week as compared to YouTube. Though
interesting.
over a period of 1 year, you will tend to get more on YouTube, but immediate reaction on LinkedIn, provided you have that connection thing, you have a lot of connection and all
Interesting.
that. So let's focus back on page builders. Now, page builders started with basic, page building functionality, and majority of them have expanded to other parts of the website like headers, footers, custom data. Are there any other aspects of a website building that page builders have not addressed yet, and we may see them address those in future?
Think that one of the trends that we've been hearing more and more about that I could see page builders and the web heading towards is this idea of personalization and dynamic content. So, for example, when you load up your Facebook page or your LinkedIn newsfeed, I imagine is very similar. No two people's homepage on Facebook or LinkedIn is going to look the same, right? They have these AI driven algorithms that are generating content that is tuned for you, who like based on what you've said you like or who you're connected with, and they're getting like scarily good at that too. We joke around about like getting sucked into the Facebook rabbit hole. Like we do a lot of our, we have a lot of our community groups on Facebook for Beaver Builders. So I'll pop in there often to kind of, check in on what people are saying or respond to a thread that maybe I'm in a conversation on. And I've gotten a lot better at this, but like I have a hard time not getting sucked into that Facebook vortex because they're so good at like, hey, like check out what your friend did on vacation, or like they show you these things you want to see. So I could see that technology kind of trickling down from just the big players, the Amazons and the Facebooks and the LinkedIns, to just general people that are building, maybe writing a blog or building an e-commerce store, and that's we've been trying to take that direction a little bit with Beaver Themer and releasing conditional logic where you can dynamically display certain pieces of content. Maybe if your user is already a customer of yours, you can show something different, or if they're logged into your site, or and like it's still relatively simple compared to like to
Facebook or
again Yeah, the big AI driven
Yeah,
thing.
the basic application can be like, if a person is coming from Facebook, I'll show this thing, this big header on the site. If it's coming from Twitter, I'll show this. If it's from LinkedIn, I guess we can do that on a basic level with Beaver Themer. But as we progress, I think more complexities can be added. But the thing with complexity is you don't want person to be sucked into, managing all those. You want them to be automated. And a lot of SaaS tools now do that. Like this ConvertBox, who does a lot of conditionaling, targeting. Like if you have this URL or referring URL, this, then show this pop-up, else show this pop-up. So I guess page builders may move in that direction as well. And Beaver Themer already does that at a, basic level.
I think that in terms of building out web pages as they exist now, brochure style websites or blogs, e-commerce sites, we've kind of we've got headers and footers. There's not a lot you can't do with a page builder in the kind of modern iteration of them. But that's where I could kind of see the next direction of building going.
Okay, now the biggest argument against page builder based development by a non-page builder user is the amount of HTML code being generated to create a layout. How do you counter this argument? And do you feel there's a room to put more efforts in reducing the amount of HTML code?
I think that our argument or philosophy like that has kind of originated from this idea of it kind of was based in like SEO best practices where Google had said that we prioritize high performance pages, and especially as mobile browsing has gotten a lot more popular, and particularly like folks that are using mobile phones or devices that aren't on broadband internet speed connections, right? Like that's like I'm sitting at home, I've got a super fast internet connection, I'm on my desktop computer. My experience browsing the web is a lot different than someone say like in a an area that doesn't have good cell coverage and they're browsing on their phone. But I don't really think that I think HTML, like the amount of markup that's actually being served from the server to the user, I don't think, and that's like a we call it like a micro performance. But it's like if you can reduce the number of or like the character length of the HTML, like it's really not giving you a huge boost in performance compared to something like reducing your image sizes or properly using caching, lazy loading, minimizing your JavaScript and CSS. Like we see a lot of sites coming through our like support system and tickets and such, and the majority of those sites, 99 out of 100, there's a long list of things that could be done that would much further increase the performance than reducing the amount of markup. So I think that I really don't think it's as big of deal as some people maybe make it out to be. I think some like proof to that too is we've been really fortunate to see some really big names and big brands leveraging Beaver Builder. Like WP Engine comes to mind and Liquid Web, both of those guys are using Beaver Builder for their home pages. And like if there's anyone that knows about how to build a performant modern web page, I trust that some of those teams at some of these giant hosting companies to
But
be on the
this argument only comes from people who don't use page builders, and guess what? They won't even use in their lifetime. So there's that.
We've been converting like it's always fun when we get to like convert like hear someone tell the story of like yeah that was me and then I tried Beaver Builder and now I'm sold, I'm on it.
Yeah, I'm no longer allergic. I'm still a developer and I still can use Beaver Builder.
We kind of started the same way, I'm not gonna lie. We had the same aversion.
I had the same thing. I was using Genesis and I used to make custom Genesis themes, and I was very comfortable doing CSS and PHP because Genesis is all hooks based. There's nothing, you can do from customizer or anything. And introducing, it's like first time when you use Beaver Builder, during that time, it was like, man, this is cheating. Like, how can I do it so quickly?
And I think it's fun too. Like I don't do this as often now, but back when we were doing web development design, like I really loved when I was rocking like my two monitors and I had my code on one and I had my design on the other, and like getting into the front end code. Like working with code is very pleasing to a certain type of personality. Because like when you're searching for a bug, the bug is like, oh, what was the quote I heard? It's like computers are only as smart as the people who program them, right? Like, it's
Exactly.
never the computer's fault when there's something going wrong. And that sense of satisfaction when, you write out a piece of code and everything just works and it comes together, like, it's fun and it feels good. But
And you know what, Beaver Builder, I think I should thank Beaver Builder for one thing. My designs have gone so much better now, because earlier I used to design in Photoshop. And when you take a Photoshop thing into a web world, things don't look the same. And you know, because web browsing and web page comes out differently, what you think, oh, it looks beautiful in Photoshop. But when you see, oh, it's not that usable. But now when you design itself in the web browser, you can actually see the usable part of, you know, the browsing, how a person, you know, browsing or interacting with the website would feel like. So now let's talk about something everyone is talking about, which is Gutenberg. You heard about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so a lot of people are echoing that Gutenberg would kill page builders, which obviously is not the case, because Matt Mullenweg is yet to reveal his third and fourth phase of Gutenberg, how, what, and how it would look like. How do you view this Gutenberg story from the point of view of a page builder product creator?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, I think, in terms of the emotions and the level of concern that we've had that Gutenberg is going to encroach on what we're doing. Ultimately, I think we were really fortunate to see some fantastic growth, and we continue to see fantastic growth of our product and our user base. But at the core, like, the reasoning for that is because there was this kind of need that wasn't being filled on the WordPress platform. Like, if people were, happy with building websites, I mean, the kind of the way we're talking, like, the using a visual design tool genuinely does save a lot of time in most cases compared to going into, like, doing things by hand by code. So I think it was a good move, and it is a good move on the WordPress part to improve that experience in terms of, like, we want the WordPress ecosystem to continue to grow. Like, I really genuinely believe in the kind of core mission of WordPress to democratize publishing and the open source kind of free software movement. I mean, these are things that I think are important and that I believe in. So yeah, and all that said, I think Gutenberg is a good thing for WordPress. I think it's been really, like, I think it's causing a lot of friction in the WordPress community. There's a lot of things that are kind of disappointing about how it's been panning
Handled.
out. Yeah, handled, or just the way, both from the like, there's a lot of critique on how the core team and Matt Mullenweg have been handling the development and the communication around the development around it, and also kind of how like the community too. I feel like the WordPress community that we see. When I say WordPress community too, there's WordPress powers 30% of the web, right? So there's lots of people that use WordPress every day that probably have no idea that Gutenberg's a thing or that any of this kind of drama is happening. But if you're the type that's, like, going to WordCamps and reading WP Tavern and Post Status and, like, really involved in the discussion, I think a lot of people didn't give the core team enough credit in the early development phases, especially, like, when they were building this piece of software in the open and saying, like, hey, this is an early iteration, this is what it's going to look like. So yeah, that's it. It's been an interesting roller coaster ride. I think it's good for WordPress. We've been lucky, like, we've been able to kind of ride a bit of a PR wave in the page builder space, because a lot of the conversations about Gutenberg inevitably lead to conversations about Beaver Builder. So we've gotten a lot of mentions and a lot of talk and a lot of headlines. But yeah, now's the do or die time, right? It's about to go into core. We're about to see kind of how quickly the community embraces it or not. And, like, the rate that plugin developers and theme developers start leveraging Gutenberg and using blocks or not using blocks, I think that's where it's going to start getting really interesting.
Yeah, because when Gutenberg actually came out and it was announced, there was a lot of negativity, and that negativity became little positive now, like a few weeks back. But now murmurs have started again because they've been missing those dates of release. So, and then the accessibility drama happened, like it's not accessible. So I guess it will eventually come and people will embrace it. And obviously change is difficult, but for Beaver Builder users, I don't think so there would be any problem, because as of now, Beaver Builder lives in its own world and Gutenberg would live in its own world. And that is what is my next question. Would page builders take a parallel path to Gutenberg, or they would start complementing with Gutenberg Core for better integration?
So in the process of kind of our business strategy and the approach we've been taking in response to Gutenberg, one of the ideas that we had or that was discussed was like, oh, you know, this is going to be great. If we can get rid of widgets and short codes and everything becomes a block, you know, and then we can bring these blocks into Beaver Builder and yeah, everything will be hunky dory. What ended up being a challenger was kind of not a shock, but the way Gutenberg is being developed and leveraging React and a lot more of like the kind of modern JavaScript front end frameworks and such, like blocks can't really exist outside of Gutenberg yet. Like we haven't been able to take if someone like you know our friends at Ninja Forms create a block to develop a form, it's we you know without completely kind of overhauling or even if we did completely over like the a block can't really exist outside of this behemoth kind of code infrastructure that is Gutenberg. So I think that's a challenge that can be solved, but we're still again like kind of waiting to see how the community does or does not embrace Gutenberg and blocks and whether there's going to be any kind of benefit to doing that. And then the other thing, I guess, is that we've seen now with the Gutenberg development is like the pace of development is understandably slow in the sense that they're building something that is going to reach 30%+ of the web, this huge user base. It has to be, you know, again, accessibility comes up. Their core audience has a much kind of wider funnel than what we have the opportunity to do with Beaver Builder is be a little bit more nimble and agile and cater to, you know, traditionally, like we've been really successful with web developers, professionals, people that are building lots of websites for other people or that are kind of on the more advanced end of that spectrum, whereas Gutenberg needs to serve all of them.
Let's talk about Gutenberg blocks more. Like, just like we have plugins in WordPress, now we're seeing more influx of Gutenberg blocks with specific functionality, like people are churning out blocks for this and that thing. Is it right to assume that page builder modules will also serve as Gutenberg blocks, maybe down the line?
Yeah, so you can technically do that now. What you can do in Beaver Builder is create, like, let's say you have like a call to action row, like a row in your site that says, hey, like sign up your email here and you get this or something like something that you reuse over and over on your site in multiple places. In Beaver Builder, what you can do is like save these rows as a template and then you can pull it in and use it all over and then you can make it so that it's a global template. So if you change it in one place, you don't have to change it in the 8 or 10 or 100 places on your site. And you can leverage or you can access those, access might not be the right word, but you can use a short code to pop those in if you wanted to put one in a sidebar widget or if you're working in the WordPress, the traditional editor, you can use a short code to plop those in anywhere. And you can do that right now in Gutenberg if you wanted to leverage our short code. We talked about creating a block that would essentially just be like an abstraction to that short code. I guess what we haven't kind of decided on is whether or not there's any value to doing that. And actually, it'd be a good question if I can turn it back on you. Like when I'm writing a blog post in the WordPress editor, I almost never grab a piece of content that I built in Beaver Builder and inject it into my blog post. It's just not something that
Me
I
neither.
do often. Yeah,
But
so.
I do see people who build their blog posts using, Page Builder. I don't know why they do it, but some people just do it. Probably either they don't know or they just want to, make things more comfortable. Like they want image on the left side, text on the right side. So there you can think like Gutenberg would be a better option. But personally, I prefer the normal text editor and, the normal flow. I don't like to break up things and put full width image and all that because not for me, but I guess there is a small percentage of use case here. But maybe with Gutenberg, this percentage may increase. But as of now, I don't see many people using it.
Yeah, I think we're kind of playing that one by ear. Again, if we see a lot of people leveraging that short code, and one thing I've actually, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I've been kind of interested in experimenting with is I've seen a number of these kind of long form articles. You see them on like some of the
Yeah.
big publishers like New
Like
York Times or
Backlinko has it.
Or well, but particularly like these really interactive, like
Yeah.
dynamic. Like it's a long form blog post, but as you're scrolling down the page, like it's very multimedia rich. There's videos and photos,
Yeah.
and the background's changing, and it's almost this like it's like a interactive story that the web page like guides you through. And I think that's really fun. I've seen some that are really interesting and exciting to read and experience. I guess maybe an experience would be a good word. So that's something I've personally been like dabbling around with a little bit on the side, is kind of trying to
And
create those.
it
And
will take a few weeks to complete that kind of a thing.
yeah, exactly. It's one of the
Not many people have patience to do that kind of thing, because this would be like 5, 10,000 words, and you can imagine like 10, 20 images. There are people who do it, like Backlinko. They only have like 30 articles, but those articles are like mammoth. They are like huge.
I'll have to check that out. I'm not familiar with them. Backlinko?
Yeah, backlinko.com. He is very popular
Check
among
that out.
SEO people. He writes really, it's like full guides in the form of a blog post, complete guides from A to Z. Now, staying with the same thing, I think the other important thing that may happen is like smaller plugins which only offer front-end display, functionality, like say showing testimonial module or image gallery. They might be available just as Gutenberg blocks in near future.
Yeah, that's curious. And then what, again, like the rate that happens is going to determine how much we work to try and get those blocks into Beaver Builder, or that's what I'm really genuinely curious to see over the next year when Gutenberg
And
goes into core is.
it also depends on how many people actually use Gutenberg, because when it comes, it will be available for everyone, but there will be people who will install Classic Editor plugin to, bypass Gutenberg, but then there will be people who would just use Beaver Builder or any other page builder, because I believe for at least for agencies who are running, multiple client sites, they would not take risk of Gutenberg immediately, because it would be like, teaching their clients and, sites getting messed up, because Gutenberg does give a client more power to mess up with the, layout of a, it's just you are giving them a mini page builder, not mini, but micro page builder. It would be, because it still works in a post editor thing, not outside the, full page. So now let's talk about Beaver Builder 2.0. Now, Beaver Builder 2.0, you've added lots of features, especially for visual design control. What was the thought process for this new direction? Because you've been traditionally known for, solid features for functionality, not for design. So was that like the missing piece, and now you're trying to add?
Yeah, okay. So I think it's 2.2 was our last release. 2.0, like in Beaver Builder 2.0, the release we did, it was probably about a year ago now, but we completely overhauled the user
UI.
interface and the user experience of Beaver Builder. And that was kind of our focus for the almost probably a year leading up to that in development. And in that time, I think the trend of web, I mean, web is kind of similar, and design is kind of similar to like fashion, in the sense that it's always changing and it's almost seasonal, and there's design trends that kind of become on vogue and that you want to emulate. And so yeah, in the gosh, like almost 5 years that we've been doing Beaver Builder, the web has changed a lot, and what has become aesthetic and the modern kind of look and feel of the web has changed. So this isn't, in a sense, was to kind of try to modernize. So we, yeah, in 2.0, we really focused on the user experience of Beaver Builder, 2.1 as well. And then now in 2.2, we really wanted to focus on the output, like what can be done with Beaver Builder, and really giving more kind of tools and leverage to developers and designers in particular too, that want to break out of that kind of like that box, the bootstrap-esque like row and column box. So we did a lot of work on, particularly on rows and being able to do row gradients and row shapes. You can create these designs that kind of flow and are yeah, not quite as boxy and that typical bootstrappy look as traditionally as a
Yeah,
traditional.
I love the shapes feature, because you've like implemented every possible permutation combination you could apply on shapes, and the shapes can be like overlaid, and it's not like shape is at the top and bottom. You can actually move them. That adds the second layer of, design creativity, and people can really either use it properly or just create horrible layout depending on how you use it, because
Sure, yeah, right.
now, a lot of Beaver Builder users are excited about new pre-made rows templates that are being designed by Paul Lacy and his team at Dickey Birds. Now, are you adding these just to test waters, or can we expect this part to be expanded in a big way in a follow-up Beaver Builder versions?
I guess probably a little bit of both, not to dodge the question, but yeah, I think, I guess we've always been a little bit hesitant to, I mean, that kind of always felt like not an easy win, but we'd worked with a designer a couple years ago to do a number of new full page templates. And the question always came up of like, well, do we want to keep just loading in pre-made templates into Beaver Builder? And that kind of goes back to the discussion we were just having too about like the trends of web design and what's popular at the day. Like that was a space where you know, there's a number of kind of third-party add-ons and people that are creating templates outside of the core platform. And then, like, we've had the discussion is like, how much of this do we want to be in the core Beaver Builder software, and how much of it do we think belongs in that third-party territory? And I think there's like a balance element to it. Like, I think it's definitely beneficial to have our core templates and then these new row templates that we're really excited about. So for the row templates in this release, we're taking a little bit more of a modular approach. So instead of creating like a full page template that you can load up and tweak, we created a number, about 80 plus of these row templates that you can mix and match. And it's kind of more of like an a la carte approach. And yes, I'm excited to see it just went live yesterday, to see like how people start using them and leveraging and how much people are using them. I think if they become, we try and base a lot of our strategy and feature decisions around our user base and what people are using and the feedback we're getting. So, you know, if it turns out that everyone just like loves these and wants more of them, I could definitely see us putting more of them in there. But it's not something we don't have any like plans cooked up to release, you know, another 100 templates over the next year or 2 years or anything like that. It's kind of a play it by ear.
This was like about the row templates. What about the Beaver templates? You have already have few Beaver templates in it. Like, do you plan to ramp those up or revamp those, or they are still there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you mean like the Beaver Themer templates
the full page templates that are already there in the, you know, Beaver Builder?
Yeah, we don't have any plans to do more of those. But I mean, again, that I think we kind of decided that the modular approach makes a little bit more sense, or it gives more flexibility. I think a lot of people, like I know personally, I would do this too. I would load up one of our full page templates just to grab like one row. If I needed a testimonials or like an about, like whatever the one row was that I needed for a design, I would load up the whole template and grab that row and throw it in with the rest of my page. And I, again, anecdotally found myself doing that a lot more than actually using the full template and just tweaking it but keeping that intact. So I think it's more, again, this is kind of like a hunch or a theory that we're trying to prove right now, but I think it's better to do it in the modular approach. But we might, you know, again, we have no guarantees that we will or won't.
I think the other way to implement the templates thing, like a lot of other people have done, is like having an official Beaver Builder templates cloud, like on. So any plans of that in that direction, or it's like visual thinking? No.
You know, yeah, we'd love to. That's something I think we would love to have. We've experimented with that in terms of like where that's been really challenging, I guess, for our team is the logistics of running our own cloud server and then having this kind of back and forth and some of the authentication issue. Like there was a lot of engineering challenges that came when we were exploring that idea. But yeah, it's definitely, I think, something that there's a value in and that we could potentially be seeing in the future.
Because for immediate, you know, creation of a layout, row templates would serve the best purpose. But if you really want like full niche based templates, then a cloud would serve better purpose, because person can just search for a keyword. Hey, I want a food template. I want a fitness template, rather than, you know, looking for, he will just see whatever templates are available and he can just click. I think Ultimate Beaver guys already do that kind of a thing, sort of, but and other platforms have their own. I don't know if that's their official creation or some third party has done it, but there are a few people who are doing it.
Yeah, Envato actually just started doing something really similar. The Envato Elements.
Yeah, and they also have Beaver Builder templates there. They what other people are doing, like what they would do is they would create a Beaver Builder template using free Beaver Builder, but they will add site origin widgets bundle in it so that whatever modules are missing in the free version of Beaver Builder, they will just use those. I think Envato has done it via that, and but the problem is they are not showing their demos anywhere, which is like turn off for many people. No one has time to install the plugin and then see, hey, what's available and all that. And
The number.
problem with most of these templates get like they look kind of similar to each other. The only difference is there's the fancy images.
Yeah, I think it's like an early stage in all those products. What excites me about that idea too is that we have this really large user base. And when we kind of talked about doing a template cloud, one of the things that we were wishful for would be for the ability, like if you're working on a website and you build out like a design that you're really proud of, that you're maybe and you want to sync it to the cloud. Like let's like the obvious kind of use cases is you build out a site and then you're going to your next site and you want to use bits and pieces from your last build. Like you could sync it up to a cloud and then pull it into your next site, especially if you're building lots of sites, this idea of like taking what you did and using it. But then also if you could potentially make that available as like a free community template, say, hey, I built this and I'm using it, but if you want to use it too, and allowing our community to kind of share and benefit from the work that each other have done, I think that would be really, really powerful and exciting.
Ultimate Beaver guys, they have this project running, but it's not launched in publicly. Like commercially, it's not available, but it's available for free, which is called Template Cloud. Like it's a plugin that you can, you can build your own templates on a cloud and then make it available by, but it's not available. It's free as of now because they are testing waters, but it's not available on, paid basis or premium basis. So let's get back to Gutenberg. Now, I'm sure a lot of Beaver Builder listeners are going to listen this, and what you have to tell to Beaver Builder users that when you update your WordPress to Gutenberg or WordPress with Gutenberg, what will happen to the Beaver Builder sites?
Everything's gonna be fine. No worries. Everything's good. Very early on in the Gutenberg development, kind of we built in a compatibility layer so that, I mean, ultimately, right, like Beaver Builder is an alternate editing experience to the default editor. Gutenberg is still an alternate editing experience that will become the default editor. But really, the only problem we needed to be able to solve in that is like, how do you switch when you load up a new page and it's got Gutenberg on the page? How do you switch into Beaver Builder? How do you switch back? And how can we do that seamlessly? And we've been on top. So there's been a number of updates to Gutenberg that have broken that compatibility layer. But we very quickly have been able to fix those. And we are very actively watching and making sure that when Gutenberg launches, that is going to work, and it's not going to break your sites, guaranteed. Nothing to lose sleep over.
Now, Gutenberg block for displaying full width images in the content area. Now, for that, you would need theme update. So, can we expect Beaver Builder theme to be updated for such Gutenberg functionality?
Yeah, I want to say yes. To be honest, like I haven't, I'm not too familiar with that exact
So,
issue,
what
but.
happens is like if you use a full width, block within the text area of your post, while in Gutenberg editor, it will display full width while you're building in the back end, but in the front end it won't be because those variables are
Gotcha.
defined by the CSS in your theme that you're using. So if you're using 2019 or 2018 theme, it would work because obviously it's a WordPress theme, official theme. But if you're using Beaver Builder theme, and that theme should have that, CSS code overrides.
Yeah, that actually that's familiar to a not a problem, but we saw that all the time with Page Builder when people were using Beaver Builder on with a different theme that didn't have a full width CSS setting. I know our theme is it's an easy it's like a filter or just like a quick line of CSS to set the CSS to full width. For anything like in that vein, though, once Gutenberg goes live, and the way we kind of prioritize feature developments and bug fixes and things like that is by how much and how often we see them coming through as issues in our support, or it's like the squeaky wheel gets the grease kind of thing. So just yeah, for anyone that's like listening, when that day comes that Gutenberg goes live, and if you're running into little issues like that, please don't hesitate to shoot us a message. Our support channel is usually the best bet for those. But of course, these always kind of tend to come through whatever channel is available, be it Facebook or Twitter or whatnot. But yeah, let us know, because the more we hear and the more feedback we get, the faster and more efficiently we'll be able to kind of prioritize what to work on should anything like that come up.
So that is for Gutenberg for Beaver Builder theme. Now, how does Gutenberg affect Beaver Themer in its existing feature set? Like, do you need to make any adjustment there as well?
That's a good question.
Because
I hate to say I don't want to answer that question without, because to be honest, I hate saying I don't know on that one. But yeah, I don't want to say like, oh no, it's going to be fine without having the experience.
if I use Beaver Themer to, make a single post layout template and then revert back, and because I know a lot of people get disappointed when they say, because I'm not talking about Gutenberg here, just of Beaver Builder and Beaver Themer. Now, what happens is people make a single post template with Beaver Themer and they expect that the content area will still use Beaver Builder. It's like using Beaver Builder within a Beaver Builder, which technically is not possible yet. Maybe you can make it work in near future, I don't know. But here, just replace those Beaver Builder with Gutenberg. Like the template is done in Beaver Themer, and that person is trying to use Gutenberg in the post, editor, the content area.
No, my hunch, and again, I don't want to like put my foot in my mouth here, but my hunch is that it's going to be compatible, because again, Gutenberg still is operating within the kind of the content area of your WordPress site. And so I imagine that data, like being able to grab the heading or the post content in Beaver Themer and creating a design where you're kind of laying out that blog post. Like I imagine the content area is still going to be the content area, and that's not going to cause a lot of issues. Let me circle back with you on that one to be sure. Let me go, like, I got to talk to Justin and Simon and all the dev guys and be like, hey,
Because
what
people will come with this argument. Okay, I understand Beaver Builder cannot work within Beaver Builder. Like you're trying to use Beaver Builder in the post editor of a Beaver Themer template, which is kind of understandable. But here they will have this argument, hey, Gutenberg is separate from Beaver Builder. So if I'm using a Beaver Themer template for a post layout, why can't I use Gutenberg within the post editor layout? It's just like using another page builder within a, page builder template. So it's kind of a confusing and technically, mind sapping until unless you use it and then you kind of understand what's happening here. Because first time someone asked me, I can't use Beaver Builder within a Beaver Builder. Like, really, you can't use Beaver Builder within a Beaver Builder. Like, because it was like when Themer was launched and people started making, single post templates, and they said, I can make single post template with Beaver Themer, but then I can't use Beaver Builder within the post layout and I cannot arrange the content. It's just like normal editor thing. So what's the use in here? Like, obviously a lot of people don't use it, but there are people who want to use it, and then they, spring up this question and you are like blank. Really? You want to use something within something? That's not possible.
Yeah, that's like whether you should or shouldn't do that is another discussion, right? But no, I think, I mean, I'm pretty sure we're going to want to support Gutenberg and Beaver Themer, whether or not there's anything that needs to be done right now or not. I'm not 100% sure, so I don't want to answer. But yeah, I'm pretty confident saying that if there is any issues, that's something that we're going to figure out and try and fix pretty quickly.
Because Beaver Themer gets a lot of, what do you call it? Bad publicity in terms like Beaver Themer. It's just for headers and footers. What else? Because a lot of people, but to be honest, it is like that. Maybe you can work on the UI part in terms of like when you install Beaver Themer, there can be few buttons, single post layout, archive layout, click on this. So it get automatically populated. The problem is when you install Beaver Themer, nothing gets added. It's just one button with add new. And, for a new user, it's kind of intimidating, I installed Beaver Themer, but I really don't know what to do with it, right? So
That's good feedback.
we can have like headers, footers, you can have small buttons and person can click in and the options get auto-populated, like, the template will be used as a header and all that. Now I'm going to talk about two other important things that a lot of people who want to come in Beaver Builder ecosystem, but they have these questions. Like, I use Beaver Builder free version. It's not that rich enough if I compare vis-a-vis, you know, free versions of other page builders. And the second question, obviously, the pricing. A lot of people are like hell-bent, you know, obviously they are yet to use Beaver Builder. They are yet to understand the, you know, what it gives you in terms of return, but they are talking in terms of, they have not used it. They are just seeing the feature set on a web page and they're talking it's pricey.
Yeah. I think that the WordPress community, I mean, a lot of the reasons people get drawn to WordPress in the first place is because it's free, right?
But it's not free.
Yeah, well, it's not free, but it, I guess, you know, there's, I think a lot of, I mean, my personal experience in this too is like, in learning web development and web design, there's points of time in your life when you're cash poor and time rich, right? Like when I was a lot younger and I was building websites, I didn't have a lot of money to spend. So anything I could do myself, even if it was going to take me a day or two or three to figure out, like I would much prefer to do things myself and learn and hack away than to buy whatever that was, a service or product that was going to shortcut that process. Then we, you know, eventually, like I got a job in web design, we started charging an hourly rate, and you know, we were giving estimates of like, you know, we'll be able to do this in this much time and that in this much time. And there was like a business motivation to start exploring and using some of those shortcuts. We started off as a premium product. We didn't kind of take the freemium model where we released a free version and then had add-ons and like a premium version to support the free version. We kind of did it backwards. So we've always kind of considered Beaver Builder a premium product. You know, I think that there's, again, like in our experience too, we've seen with free products that like I've used in the past too, like there's a lot less of a peace of mind that those are going to be supported and continually developed. And there's a lot of things I've used free plugins from the repository that end up going abandoned or this or that. Like, you know, when you support premium products and use premium products, especially when you're building sites for clients, there's that kind of understood, like you're going to have a lot more support from the developers. And there's a lot more kind of peace of mind that assuming that they're running a healthy business and that business is growing, which ours is, that there's going to be longevity and you get that return on investment. Again, WordPress is being a free piece of software and the you know massive amounts of code and plugins that are available out there for free, and that's not to say that's not a bad approach to doing. I think when you get to the point where you're ready to kind of step up to a premium product, there's a lot of benefits that come along from that, but it's not, you know, it's not for everyone.
Yeah. This is the same answer I give to someone who asks me this question, because I get ask this question a lot, and I say it's peace of mind. If something breaks and I spend say 5 hours, I've already spent more money in, you know, fixing those things in 5 hours. It's just peace of mind, and you pay what you get. And a lot of people do say, and I would also say that your support is really top class when you compare it with, I'm not saying others are bad or something, it's just like comparison and what people, you know, give feedback in general. So is it, you get what you pay for, right?
No, I appreciate that. I mean, that's kind of been our philosophy to our business, is to provide the best product and the best service that we can. And
maybe you should advertise 40% renewals somewhere in a big way, because a lot of people don't even know about it.
Again, yeah, I appreciate that. We can have a private conversation here. I get to pick your brain a little bit more, not under the spotlight.
Because my next, once I say that, you know, it gives you peace of mind. And guess what? Next year, you are going to pay 40% less. Really? I didn't know about that. So, okay. So let's switch gears from Beaver Builder to general thing. Let's dive into your toolbox. Like, what are your favorite 5 tools that power your online business, obviously besides Beaver Builder?
Yeah, you gave me a hint that you were going to ask this question, and I started thinking about it, but I didn't like write down a solid 5. So off the top of my mind, here's an issue. So I started using, Fiverr, right? Everyone's heard of Fiverr, and Fiverr kind of gets like a lot of flack because it's like, oh, you know, you pay $5.
It's good if you find the right person.
So what I've been using Fiverr, I never really used it much until just recently, but I found a guy on Fiverr who does editing, like grammar editing. And so This happened because like I sent out a newsletter. Our newsletter list is getting like bigger and bigger every day, and it gets more and more stressful like hitting that send button on the newsletter, because like once it's out. There's no undo, and like I had this really kind of glaring. I just used the wrong. I was using like a word. I think I said whelp, right? Like whelp, here we are, and I was kind of like, but I spelled it in a way that like it was basically the wrong spelling for the word. You could argue that I was just like trying to emulate what it would sound like being, but anyways, I was really embarrassed about that. And we were also getting like a number of more comments when I'd publish a blog post being like, oh, hey, like you spelled this wrong or this or that. And like, so I started working with this guy on Fiverr. It's $5 for 1,000 words in 24 hours. And he does grammar editing, and he's like really good. I always kind of send it off, and I like have my ego, and I'm like, oh, I don't think he's going to find anything. And he'll come back with just like red marks all over the place.
Format.
Like, oh my God. So for that like specific use case, I'm loving this guy on Fiverr. Because again, like $5 for that peace of mind to know that he's going to catch a bunch of silly grammatical errors.
But that's true for everyone. You know, I have Grammarly installed. So once I complete the article, I actually keep it disabled till I finish the article. Once I finish it, then I enable it and run a review. There's so many lines here.
Yeah, totally. So I guess not to branch too far off the subject, but I was at a conference at Cabo Press, which is a kind of mastermind conference that our friend Chris Lema hosts every year in Cabo. It's an amazing conference, highly recommend it. This year he had a number of speakers that were kind of outside of the WordPress space. And one of them that really stood out for me was this woman named Allie Fallon, and she's an author and a writing coach. And the subject of her talk was how to write a book. Or something along those lines. Like if you want, like how to, and to me, I was like, well, I'm going to go check this one out, but I don't want to write a book. So I don't really think I'm going to get anything from it, but it ended up just being super interesting. But the point that I really took away from that she made in relation to this is that some of the best writers throughout history have been horrible at grammar. Like I used to think that, because I wasn't good at grammar and spelling, I wasn't a good writer. And it wasn't until I got older that I realized like writing is a way to kind of organize your thoughts, and it's a really valuable exercise, I think, in terms of thinking deeply and understanding a subject is to write on it. So that was encouraging to hear that you can be a good writer even if you're not good at grammar, and you shouldn't be held back or feeling like you shouldn't write because of that. Okay, but so yeah, that was one. I might have to speed this up. Another one we've been using this year that I really like is a service called Meteric, and it is a WooCommerce reporting dashboard. So we use WooCommerce for our e-commerce system, and WooCommerce has a reporting system. If you want to see like how many subscriptions, how much you've sold, how much you've refunded, this and that, it's built in, but it's like I hate to like throw them under the bus. It's really clunky, and it doesn't give you a very good overview of the data. It's super slow if you're trying to load up, like, I want to see our sales report from this day to this day. Like, just sits there and churns forever. So Meteric it's a SaaS, and it basically like slurps all of that WooCommerce data. The guy who wrote it, Bryce, used to be an automatician on the WooCommerce team. So he knows his stuff. He knows
So
WooCommerce
it
inside
pulls the
out.
data from your database and to it's their own hosted solution and then processes and shows you the data.
Exactly. And it's
Okay.
lightning fast. And that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg. They've got all sorts of features for like segmenting out customers if you want it. And they're adding in email marketing to that too. So if we wanted to say, like in our case, like what I did for Black Friday, I was able to go in and say, hey, I want to find a list of customers that purchased Beaver Builder but then didn't renew their license. And so then we can send them an email that says, hey, like we're doing a Black Friday sale. If you want to come back, join us, this and that.
And I think the benefit would be it doesn't puts pressure on your WordPress server itself because it WooCommerce is a guzzler, especially
Exactly.
at a level of sales or transactions you have.
Exactly. Yeah. And so if you are building or running WooCommerce, I highly recommend checking that one out.
Number
Let's
three.
see here. Number three. We started using a service called Bench. This is a couple of years ago now, but it's an accounting service. So my partner Billy used to do all of our accounting more or less by hand in a spreadsheet, right? Like when numbers came in, he'd plug them in, and when we spent money, he'd plug that in too. And so Bench is kind of like a hybrid. It's a automated accounting system that ties into your, like it ties into PayPal and Stripe, and it will kind of slurp in all that data from your accounts. But then there's also a representative, a real person that you can talk to that kind of manages that. So it's like a hybrid software service solution for accounting. And that one's been really brilliant. I know it saves Billy a bunch of time, and it's kind of similar to Metrica. They have really nice user interface in terms of dashboards and being able to get in and see like what's going on in your business. That's another one I've really enjoyed. So those are the three. Now, what always happens when I do this too is we're gonna like end this podcast, and I'm gonna be like, oh, I should have said this one. Like I was like, like I'm gonna think of two or three
I'll add
more.
one for your Facebook. Or
Yeah,
maybe
Facebook.
Slack. I don't know. I don't use Slack that much now. I rarely log in into Slack groups now. I prefer to be on Facebook because Slack is kind of drain of time, to be honest, for me.
Yeah, we use Slack as our virtual office, but I agree. It was really trendy there for a while. Like everyone was starting up a Slack group for everything, right?
Yeah.
And it is kind of a time sink.
The
I
problem is
do.
you can't. You can't refer to old things easily. Like on Facebook, you can still do little search, and their search has actually improved now, especially the group search. Earlier, it won't show anything, but now with tags and all that, you can even tag it. I don't know if you do that in People Builder group, but in my Facebook group, I actually tag every post with some certain specific tags, and those tags shows as sort of categories in the bar, so people can actually browse things via those categories.
I've seen that. I've seen groups that do that. Interestingly, I just had another really good discussion with someone about Discord. Are you familiar with Discord?
Yeah.
So Discord is like Slack, but it originally started for gamers. It was like a gaming chat program that also had kind of voice over IP. I go through phases. I'm a long time gamer. But Discord is really like if we could start all over again, I might consider Discord over. The benefit to Slack is that because WordPress embraced Slack really early on, the whole WordPress community is already on Slack. Like most people are running it daily, that are running like WordPress businesses. Like almost everyone is using Slack. Discord has really become a lot more powerful and a lot more flexible, especially in terms of things like managing user roles. Like if you want to have different channels that are only available for people that have different user roles, or I have a friend, Brian, who does post status, who has a premium Slack where you can buy a membership to his server, to
Yeah.
his, it's kind of like a club, and you get access to the Slack channel. And he was saying he's still basically like he's automated it, but it's basically a manual process where every month he has to see who stopped paying and remove them from Slack. And like it's been really clunky to do that. Whereas with Discord, they really dialed in a lot of that functionality. And I think the user experience is a lot better. And you get a lot more on their free version too. So if you're on the fence of like, oh, I might do a Slack, or check out Discord.
Nah, I'm always on Facebook. That's my favorite place. Okay, so which is your recommended web hosting service? Now you don't do client work now, but I guess you still keep an eye on who's in, who's out.
That's a tough question too, because man, we have like so many friends that are all it's like represented. That's a really tough one for me to answer because so I can like we for our website we use Pagely. Previous to Pagely, we used GoDaddy,
Mad
which I know
Medios
like
would be happy here.
plug for the like again like WP Engine just started using Beaver Builder for their homepage. They're like, oh man, WP Engine, that's so cool.
They
And
are attracting you.
works over at Liquid Webs, or like, oh, Chris is over there. That's got a good. And so and I just met a bunch of the team from Pressable, and I really like what they're doing in terms of their marketing approach. Like they're like, it's interesting to watch because the hosting company is kind of so fiercely competitive. Like seeing
Yeah.
how they market and how they try and differentiate from
And
one
there are
another.
classes of hosting companies. Like most of these are now premium hosting companies, like be it WP Engine, Flywheel, Kinsta. Like they form one bunch, then Pagely is like one level up because their pricing and the level of support they give is something different. And then there's Liquid Web also, like which obviously fall in the line of WP Engine and, Flywheel. So tough choice.
Sorry, I'm kind of dodging that question. It's too bad too that it's really difficult to move a website because like the obvious
Yeah.
kind of solution to that problem is like, well, give them all a try. Like try one for a month and then try the next one for a month. But transferring your domains and your websites is such a
It's
pain. It doesn't.
and
It's not really.
I guess your database would be like, I can't even imagine how many gigs it would be like.
Oh man, it keeps growing
Yeah.
and growing. But yeah, we've had a good experience. Like, it's funny, we just had Black Friday weekend here, or Cyber Week. The names keep changing every year,
Yeah,
but
this is a tricky question for you. And I'm going to ask you another tricky question here. Like,
okay.
the question is, which is your recommended page builder other than, okay, let me rephrase. If Beaver Builder did not exist,
Yeah.
which page builder would you have used
Oh, that's a good one.
to
Okay, no, so
create
that's
the official website of Fastline Media? Because at that time, you would still be doing Fastline Media.
Yeah, no, it's funny. Like, I don't know what the perception is in the community, but we've had the opportunity to like hang out and meet with the Elementor guys, and I've had the
Ben
opportunity to hang
Pines.
out. Actually, I haven't met Ben yet. I met I'm gonna say his name's it's I think it's Yanni. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And then a number of guys from the team. Ben wasn't out. I tried to get in touch with Ben. I was like, hey man, you got to come out and let's meet in person one day. But yeah, we got to meet those guys. I've hung out with Nick Roach and the Elegant Themes
Divi.
crews, Divi crew. Yeah, there's a couple new kids on the block that I'm not as familiar with. But like, one of the things I really love about this community, and I've seen this, like, we've gone to conferences with all the different like form, like you got Carl Hancock and then the Ninja Forms guys and the Formidable Forms guys, and like we can all get together at a table and hang out and be amicable. So I really have no problem saying, like, Elementor, if you're looking for a free solution, they have a lot of features in their free version that's on the WordPress repository. So I think that's a great free solution right now. And then the Elegant Themes camp, you get a bunch of value out of your dollar over it. Like, we're still Elegant Themes customers from, I think we got a lifetime license back in our client services days, but we still, like, we were using their social sharing plugin on our site for a
Bloom,
while.
Bloom.
Yeah, exactly. And for the whatever it is now, it's like an annual fee or a monthly fee. Like, you get access to a lot of good code. And those guys have a design eye. Like, they're all everything they do
Fancy,
is so
fancy,
beautiful,
fancy.
beautiful. So yeah, that's a very political answer, right? But then again, there's new kids on the block too. Like, I've been hearing a lot about Brizzy, and then like Visual Composer, man, those guys they're getting better and better, right? Like, I know of all of them, I think they had the most overhead in terms of like spitting out code or short codes. Like, people got a lot of flack
But they were like the first movers also, so they didn't know which thing to implement. They just did it. And now I think they changed their clothes somehow. Like, they've done a revamp of their product. I don't know how good or bad it is, but obviously a lot of people have a bad history of using their product. So let's not get there and ruffle a few feathers here. So next question, which is your recommended email marketing service?
We switched from MailChimp to Drip this year, and part of that, there was a number of reasons. Part of it was like, I think there's a grass is always greener. We're like, oh, if we switch to Drip, all these things that we're like having friction with on MailChimp will get solved. And then we're on Drip and we're like, oh, well, that did solve a lot of them. But then you have like a couple, it took us a little bit of time to dial. I really, really like Drip. I really like the team behind Drip. I still think MailChimp, it's actually kind of the same answer. MailChimp has a really good free, like, you can get going on MailChimp up to like, I think 1,000 or 2,000 subscribers
2000,
for free.
2000.
Yeah, you're on it with the numbers. I'm impressed.
I use MailChimp. I love it. A lot of people say,
Yeah.
you should switch to Drip, ConvertKit and all that. You know what? Even though my user will go up above, 2000, I'll be happy to pay for MailChimp, because whatever MailChimp only does few things, but whatever few things it does absolutely 100% correct. And
Yeah.
that's solid. To be honest, obviously it's not
Agreed.
fancy like ConvertKit and Drip, but it's all about your need. I don't need that fanciness, to be honest.
Yeah. MailChimp's been adding like a lot of the features we wanted in Drip, I believe, are now available in
Yes, they
MailChimp.
have
And
added tags, they have added
yeah,
segments. So
segmenting features
watch out,
and
ConvertKit, Drip.
automation.
Yeah, and they have added these features to free account itself. So there's no paid or free now. Like, all the features are there in the free account. And obviously, if you cross 2000, you pay for it. So that's how they've set it up now. So last question, any upcoming tool or service that has caught your eye attention?
This is another one
Other
I feel
than
like.
Gutenberg.
Yeah, I do. I have one. This is a little bit of like a off. This is a little bit. A lot of folks that go to word camps might recognize the name Mendel from GoDaddy. He's kind of been a long time road warrior, product evangelist. He has a side gig, a side hustle, if you will, called Adventures with Geeks, and the premise is like he does these group organized kind of camping trips and excursions where you do a digital detox. So you get together with a bunch of people, generally, like mostly these are folks from the tech industry, like people that are self-identified geeks that want to break away from the computer and the phone and go for a hike out in the forest or go camp out under the stars. And I did a trip with him to Iceland this year, which was phenomenal. And then Brent from our team did a camping trip with him out in Texas. I'm doing a stargazing camping trip with Adventures with Geeks this year. And I love this idea of getting out and traveling with a group and getting the opportunity to spend like real, like more than just like a afternoon at a conference with someone. But you spend a few days out camping with someone, you get to know them on a whole different level and build like a much stronger bond. And sitting behind a computer all day, like in a room alone, like it gets really draining, and it's like a really refreshing, really refreshing quality of life improver, I think. So that's one that I would, obviously not a tech service, but something that I'm really into right now and would recommend for anyone to check out is Adventures with Geeks.
Awesome. It was amazing talking to you and talking about my favorite thing, Beaver Builder. It's seriously my favorite thing, and a lot of other people's favorite thing. Like, a lot of people are doing really good work in Beaver Builder, community. Like David Wormsley, he's like the veteran. And then there's Tim Root from Tiki Boom. He does really good, videos with Can It Be Done with Beaver Builder? Seriously. And there are a lot many others. I don't remember the name of, I
Well,
need.
yourself included in that. Don't be modest. Your newsletter is one of my favorites. Like I use your newsletter to keep track on what's going on, the Pro Beaver newsletter.
A lot of people ask me, how do you track these things? It's so simple. You just need to bookmark. That's about it. And how do you bookmark? You use any fancy tool? No, I don't. I actually use Facebook bookmark tool. And if I find something other than, it's not on Facebook or something, I use such a dead simple way. Like my Firefox always have my inbox open. So I have like emails in draft mode. One is for ProBeaver, one is for Smart Web, one is for my agency, one is for clients. So I'll just paste that link in that, draft email, which remains draft forever. So whenever I have to publish, I just copy that link and delete everything. So it's time to restart and fill that. So that's the tool I use, Gmail.
Interesting. Keep it simple.
Yeah, keep it simple. No need to, get too fancy. Even page builders should be simple, like Beaver Builder. So, any last message before we end this episode?
No, thanks again for having me and agreed. It's great chatting. Really glad we got the opportunity to do this.
Cool. Have a good day. You can join the free web creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.